Hello and welcome to the Birkett Long Lawcast. With me today is David Wybar, who is Head of Rural Business at the firm. Today he's going to be talking about tax relief for farm houses. Firstly, David, what kind of properties will attract tax relief and the types of people who can benefit?
The important distinction to begin with is if you live in a house that happens to be called a farmhouse, but you're not involved in agriculture as a business, then you won't get any relief at all. That is just a house which is taxed in the normal way.
When can a person get tax relief? Are we talking throughout the life they live there, or at the end of their lives, or when they want to pass on the property to someone else?
We're interested here in a tax called inheritance tax, which is payable usually on death, but occasionally through lifetime gifts. What we're looking to try and achieve here is to get relief from inheritance tax, which is available for agricultural property. So the critical question for us to consider is whether a farmhouse qualifies as agricultural property or not.
And how does that happen?
It really depends now more on the business. I think in the old days, so up to 20, 30 years ago, a farmer would assume that his farmhouse, which is usually his office as well as his home, would simply be part of the business and would attract full relief from inheritance tax in the same way as his land and buildings. More recently, case law has developed. I think with the increase in the value of residential properties through the 1980s and 90s, the Inland Revenue looked at houses as being a weapon on their part to try and get tax, and started considering very carefully whether a farmhouse really should or shouldn't qualify. And each individual property is looked at differently by the revenue. If you had a substantial farming business, and by substantial nowadays I mean something that maybe farms 750 acres or more, then unless you had a mansion, the revenue would look at that and say the farmhouse is what they call of a character appropriate to the holding. But if you had a substantial farmhouse based on only 75 acres, the revenue would say, well, this is really a gentleman's residence in the countryside. The farming business is not substantial and doesn't justify a house of that size, and therefore we will look to tax the taxpayer.
So if that person died and then this was part of their estate, how much tax on, if we're talking about the gentleman's mansion, how much tax could his dependents expect to pay?
The starting point from the Inland Revenue's point of view is whether the house is agricultural property or not. Is it of a character appropriate to the farm? If the Inland Revenue succeeds in an argument saying that it is not, then the value of the house would be taxed in full at 40%. No relief at all. But what tends to happen is some cases are black and white. It either is or it isn't. If it isn't, the taxpayer loses and pays tax. If it is a farmhouse, the revenue now have a new weapon up their sleeves, coming from a case called Antrobus, which ran through about 10 years ago, where having held that the house was a farmhouse, the Inland Revenue then argued that it has two values, one of which the open market value for the sale to anybody, and the other of which its open market value if it could be sold only to an active farmer. And in that particular case, it was held that the discount in the value was 30%, and the revenue then said, we will tax the taxpayer on 30% of the value of the farmhouse at 40%. So the revenue will now, as a matter of practice, every time we in our probate department deal with an estate of a farmer, they start off with the argument that the farmhouse is not a farmhouse for the purposes of agricultural property relief. If they lose that argument, which we tend to win that one, where there's a reasonable business. If they lose that argument, they then come straight in with a 30% discount and try and tax us on that. We would argue every fact should be considered on its merits, and where, for example, a house is in the midst of a busy farmyard with buildings and stock and cattle, that actually there shouldn't be much of a discount, because even a non-farmer looking at the house will have to consider the working of a farm all around him and may not pay the price elsewhere. So we will always try and argue that the 30% figure shouldn't be used as a rule of thumb, but the revenue time after time, 10 years on, are still coming back on every estate looking to tax the taxpayer on 30% of the value of the house.
So what is your advice to a farming family who are planning for the succession of their farm and assets?
Well, the important thing is to stop and think about it and examine the nature of the business, the size of the farm, consider succession planning, work out which member of the family lives in the farmhouse. If you don't know whether the farmhouse might or might not qualify for relief, you're stabbing in the dark. So you do need to stop, think about it, and work out whether your business will justify a claim. That said, there's no right and wrong, and we've had substantial houses on modest acreages that have slipped through the net, and we've had small houses on large acreages where the revenue have had a serious look and have tried to assess us to tax. So it isn't necessarily a right or a wrong answer. But if you don't stop and look at it, plan ahead, as you're suggesting, you may find a tax bill that you could have avoided.
So what kind of an age of a person should you start this investigation? Should you be 60? Should you be 50? Should you be younger?
Every farming family should look at it. You never know when there might be a death or when there might be a gift or when there might be a taxable event. You should always just look at your business and work it out. And there are a lot of farming businesses at the moment where perhaps farmers nearing or in early retirement without children in the business, and they're contracting their land out to a neighbour, or in some cases letting it out to a neighbour. And that is a very important thing to consider, because if you rent your farm out but carry on living in the farmhouse, you are no longer in business, and therefore your farmhouse will no longer attract relief. Whereas if you contract farm, so you use a neighbour as your contractor to do most or nearly all of the work for you, you remain in business and can have an argument with the revenue later on that it does qualify for relief. If anyone would like to contact me to discuss farmhouses and the way in which they might attract agricultural property relief, please call me on 01206 217 312 or email me david.ybar, that's W-Y-B-A-R, at birkettlong.co.uk. Thank you.